Today, we will continue with the parables of Jesus. And the parables, of course, are found throughout the Gospels. But in particular, in Matthew chapter 13, we find a bunch of parables all stuck together around this theme of the advancement or the growth of the kingdom of God. And that's really going to be our theme today. The parable we're about to read is one of the few parables found in all three synoptic Gospels and one of the few parables that Jesus actually provides an interpretation for. It's often called the parable of the sower, though I think it might be more aptly titled the parable of the soils. So let's listen now as we read God's word. Again, we're looking at Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9. Then we're going to skip the middle section, 10 through 17, and drop down to verse 18, which is where Jesus begins the interpretation. So this is the word of the Lord. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. And he was scattering, as he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell in rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still, other seed fell on the good soil, where it produced a crop, 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let them hear. Now, skipping down to verse 18, we read, listen then to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. This is the word of the Lord. Let's pray and ask God to bless the reading of his word. Father, we have heard this parable many times in our lives, so we ask that you open our eyes and our ears and let us hear afresh from you today what you have for us. Lord, give us ears to hear. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Many of you know that we, Karen and I, used to live in Rego Park before we discovered the wonders of Astoria and moved here. Rego Park, at our home in Rego Park, we had a small yard. It was probably maybe 12 feet long and 6 to 8 feet wide at its largest margins. The grass in that yard was planted by our landlord, who knew nothing about how to plant grass or how to take care of a yard, but he tried. There were parts of the yard that looked fairly nice, but were covered in weeds. And then there were other parts of the yard that really the grass just never took root. And there were bald spots, or there were areas of the yard that just didn't have any grass. So it was lightly covered. And then, of course, there were bald spots. And those spots sort of looked like the top of my head. You can't laugh at that, but the top of my head just spotted throughout the yard. You could laugh at that, but you know. But the thing is, the grass just never came in. It didn't look great. And so one year, I decided, you know what? I'm going to fix our yard. I'm going to go about making the yard, the grass look a little bit nicer. So I went to Home Depot, bought some seeds, grass seed. I watched a couple videos on YouTube on how to seed your yard. And I poured the grass seed in a cup, and I began walking my yard, just scattering the seed. And I didn't just put the seed where the grass wasn't growing well. I decided, I'm going to put the seed everywhere in the yard. It can't hurt. The yard doesn't look all that great, so it's got to help. It can only help. So I walked around just spreading the seed, tossing the seed, until I covered pretty much, I thought, the entire yard. It didn't take that long, and then afterwards, I watered the grass. I watered the seeds. And each day, I would come out in the evening, and I would water the seed. That's what I was told to do. I thought that would help the seeds begin to germinate. And every few days, I would be looking in the yard, going, you know, is there anything popping up, any green shoots? And nothing. A week or two went by, still nothing. And then after a few weeks, I began to see, finally, the first green shoots popping up through some of the places in the soil. But sadly, most of the seed never took root. Most of the places in the yard still remain bare. Even the bald spots in the yard, as I, over the weeks and months, would look at the yard and I would look at it and still none of this grass was taking root, I would see these bald spots and I'd still see some of the seed on it. And the seed was just, in a sense, laughing at me for, oh, you thought this was going to be so easy. And it was not. The question that I had, and maybe the question you're asking, is why is it that some seeds sprouted, but some didn't? You know, I had no idea. But I thought maybe I did something wrong in the way I spread the seed. So the next year came along and I tried again. But this time I didn't put out as much seed. I just focused in on the places in the yard that were more bare. Guess what? I didn't have any better success the second time either. And you probably know why I didn't have any more success, or at least those of you who know anything about planting and gardening. What makes the seed grow or not grow has nothing to do with the seed. It doesn't even have anything to do with the sower, but it has everything to do with the soil. The bottom line is that without good soil, plants won't grow. Plants won't produce fruit. Now, I know that many of you don't have grass, and you're probably thinking, I don't really care how grass grows or not. And that doesn't interest me. But I do hope you understand that I think this idea here is that the idea in this parable is that Jesus is telling us this parable, and I'm telling you the story about planting grass seed because it's a picture that Jesus gives to us of how the kingdom of God advances, how the kingdom of God grows. Now, Jesus has spent 12 chapters talking about the kingdom of God. And you might remember, you might recall from a few weeks ago, that we said the kingdom of God is simply the reign and rule of God throughout his world. And the kingdom of heaven began with Jesus' reign. His kingdom will spread throughout the world as men and women take the gospel to heart and submit their lives to their king. That is, submit their lives to King Jesus. As that is done, God's kingdom spreads one heart at a time. Church, throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus talks about how wonderful, how mighty, and how beautiful God's kingdom is. But all along the way, he is meeting opposition to his message and to the kingdom. Even as God's kingdom is growing among his disciples, the few of those, there are still religious leaders and normal Galileans who have rejected the message of Jesus, who have rejected the kingdom of God. So the disciples began wondering how the kingdom of God would grow amid such hostilities and opposition. If it's such a wonderful kingdom, it's such a mighty kingdom, it's such a powerful kingdom, then why in the world are all these people rejecting it? Now, maybe you have similar thoughts. We live in a city that sometimes, maybe oftentimes, causes us to wonder, is it even possible for God's kingdom to grow here? There's so much bad news, there's so much evil, that it can be hard sometimes to see the kingdom of heaven advancing, particularly if you're only watching the 6 o'clock news every night, or if you're attracted to 24-hour news cycle. Yet here's the thing that I want us to understand. Jesus is clear throughout his teaching that his kingdom is advancing. It is making headway, but it's advancing, if you recall, not in the ways that we might think. It's advancing like a mustard seed. It's advancing like the yeast and dough. So Jesus gives this parable to help his disciples and to help us understand a little bit better how the kingdom of God grows. So today, as we look at this question, we're going to touch briefly on the sower, the seed, and then a little bit more deeply on the soil. First, let me ask us, what do we learn here in this parable about the sowing? The text says the farmer went and sowed the seed. In ancient Israel, the farmer would sow seed by broadcasting it, right? That he would take it in his hand, he'd have it in a bag or something on himself, and he would walk his field and he would broadcast it. If you've ever seen the old movies from the 40s, maybe the 50s, in the beginning of the movie, you'd have a broadcast tower. You ever seen that? And then you got little signals coming out of it. Well, this idea of broadcasting, that's where it came from. It came as a farming term that was picked up because that was the way farmers set their seed. they broadcast it through their field. And so in ancient Israel, the farmer walked his field tossing seed from one end of the field to the other. He would cover his entire field in seed. And he really didn't care all that much where the seed landed as long as the entire field was covered. Some of the seeds then would fall in unproductive places, like the walking paths that bordered the field, or while other seed fell on rocky soil. And again, the farmer didn't really care. He wasn't that concerned about it because he was just trying to cover every part of his field. Now, the interesting thing about ancient Israel is when they sowed their seed and they broadcast the seed over their field, only then did they plow the field. So they put out the seed and then they plow, they turned over the soil, which is a little bit different than how we might do it in our larger farms here in the United States. Look, the farmer did everything he could to prepare the field for an abundant harvest. And then after he would prepare the field, he was watering it in various ways, and he would step back and he would wait and he would watch, just like me for the grass, every day going out. How's it doing? Is it growing? Is it getting larger? Have I covered enough of the field? So that's what the sower has done. That's what he said the farmer has done. Now, in this parable, who are we told is the sower? If you look carefully, the text never says. It's actually one of the strange aspects about this parable. The parable starts out about Jesus or telling this parable, and it's all about the first 9 verses are all about the sower. But then Jesus talks about the 18, verse 18 and following, gives us the interpretation. He says nothing about the sower. It's all about the sower. But I think we can surmise that the sower is anyone who spreads the word of God. And how do we know the seed is the word of God? Because later in the text it tells us that the seed is representative of God's word. The sower, then, in our case, is you and me or any Christian who's at lunch with coworkers or any student, Christian student who's with his friends, or simply a parent telling a bedtime story to their child. The sower is anyone who shares God's word. And notice how the farmer is described here. He's not said to be the best farmer in the valley, nor the most gifted farmer, or the farmer who knows just the right trick to get the seed to germinate. The farmer is simply faithfully doing his duty. That is, he's doing his job. He's doing what's required of him, what's expected of him. Now keep that in mind when you think about talking to others about Jesus. You don't have to be gifted. You just have to be faithful to make the most of the opportunities that God gives to you. And let me remind you that nowhere are we expected to present a gospel presentation in 30 seconds or less or 2 minutes and under every time we meet someone. Look, most of us work with the same people day after day. Right? We have some friends who are believers, we have some friends who aren't unbelievers, and we see them all the time. You can't expect every time you see your coworkers or your friends who are unbelievers to think, oh my goodness, now I have to share the gospel with them. What does that mean for you to share a whole gospel presentation with them? That's not the point of this parable when we talk about sharing the word of God with others. We need to get creative in the way we talk about our faith. That might mean that we need to look at sharing our faith in little small bites, that we give little pieces to people. We don't have to give the whole message, the entirety of the gospel presentation, but we need to tell truth to them. That might mean that you simply share who God is by how God is working in your life, what God is teaching you. It can be a lot of different ways, and we need to be more creative when we think about what it looks like for us to share the gospel with our friends, with our colleagues, with our family members who are not believers. That it does not have to be Jesus was born, Jesus is the Son of God, Jesus came, lived a perfect life, Jesus died on the cross for our sins, he rose for our salvation. You can say that maybe once or twice to somebody, and after that, they've tuned out as soon as you start talking. But you can speak to them about what God means to you, what God is doing in your life, because that opens up a door again to talk to them about something that's meaningful to you, how God is meaningful to you, how God is at work in your life. One last thing, though, here about the sower. When I spread the grass seed in my yard, I was tempted to think that the reason that the seed did not grow was because I did something wrong. I did something incorrectly. You know, and that's easy, right? All of us do this. We set out to do a task. It doesn't work out the way we think it is. And so we sit down and we start taking notes. What did I do wrong? What needs to do differently? And I'm thinking when I spread the seed out, did I do something wrong? Maybe I put too much of it down. Maybe I didn't put enough of it down. But here's the thing about this. I didn't put down the seed incorrectly. I'd watched enough YouTube videos to know that I had done it fairly well. I spread the seed in the yard just like anyone else would have. Friends, though, listen to this. The reason some seed didn't grow had nothing to do with the way the seed was sown. But it does have everything to do with the soil. Again, that's what Jesus is driving home here. This parable is all about the soil. Look, and that should encourage us when we think about sharing our faith, when we think about talking about God to others. We're called to be faithful witnesses to the gospel, but only God can bring the growth. Right? That's encouraging to me. I don't have to worry about messing up or not saying enough or saying even too much, because God is the one who's in the business of changing hearts, not me. Look, church, God's kingdom is advancing, but the bottom line is it's not received by all. When it's not growing, it's not because of the sower, and it's not because of the seed, it's because of the soil. The second area to look at briefly today is the seed. Jesus tells us clearly when he gives the interpretation of the parable that the seed is the word of God. You can see that again in verses 19, 20, 22, and 23. He says that the seed is the message of the kingdom. But then that, of course, begs the question, what is the message of the kingdom? Simply put, the king has returned. And King Jesus calls all to repent of their sins and trust in him as their king, who laid down his life on the cross that all those who confess their sin, who repent and put their faith in him, will be saved. That's the message of the kingdom. That's the core gospel of the message that Jesus preached throughout his ministry. That's Jesus' message, and it must be our message as well. Did you notice, though, that three of the four soils mentioned in this parable reject Jesus? Only one of the soils is descriptive of believers. The other three rejected the message. I think Jesus tells this parable to remind the disciples, and I think to remind us, that entering the kingdom of heaven isn't easy. Elsewhere, Jesus says, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." Thankfully, God is sovereign, and he reigns even over the soil, even over human hearts. The bottom line is that some people find the message of Jesus, the message of the kingdom, offensive. And not just in our day, but also in Jesus' day. By entire families, Jesus says. Look, there's a long history of people struggling with the message of Jesus. Many rejected Jesus' message, from Pharisees to everyday people who just couldn't wrap their mind around his message or around the idea of the kingdom of heaven. But I think that we have a warning here for us. When the crowds and the Pharisees rejected Jesus, he didn't change the message. He didn't soften it. He didn't make it easier. He didn't try to make it more palatable to the disciples or to the crowds. And church, the bottom line is we can't either if we're going to be true to that message. Because the problem isn't with the message. The problem's with the soil. The problem's with our hearts. In this parable, Jesus talks about four soils, four types of soils, which are four pictures of human hearts. So let's look at the first soil Jesus gives us, and I'm going to call that soil a hard-hearted soil or an unresponsive heart. He said some of the seed the farmer sowed fell along the path. Now, these paths often bordered the fields, and they often cut through the fields that the farmers had. They set out the borders of all these farm fields. And you guys know what it is to walk on a hard path. Not a concrete path, but a dirt path that's been beaten down year after year by people's feet. The bottom line is that seed that falls on that path just cannot. It's not possible to break through the soil. And Jesus says in the parable that this type of heart doesn't understand the message. And what he means by that, it doesn't mean that they don't intellectually understand the message. He means that the message never gets into their heart, never breaks into the soil. So they hear the message. Like some of you may be here today, you're hearing the message, but it never moves your heart. It never impacts what's going on inside you and moves you out to live in a different way for your King. That is, the message never takes root, and these people find it often irrelevant, problematic, or offensive. This was a picture of the heart of the Pharisees and the religious leaders of Jesus' day. The idea that the Messiah would come and usher in the kingdom and then die for the salvation of others seemed absolutely foolish to them. The more Jesus proclaimed the message, the more miracles he performed, the harder and harder their hearts became. Look, we've all met and know people with hearts like this. No matter how often you share the message of Jesus, it never breaks into their minds, never breaks into their hearts. The gospel just never gets in. There may be some of you here today that fall into this category of hearts. You stand at arm's length to the message of Jesus, and you know it. You're not interested in letting the message in. So you make all kinds of excuses, whether you find it boring or simply unacceptable. Friend, let me say this. If that describes your heart today, let me encourage you to ask God for mercy, to ask God to break through your hard heart, because he alone is able. The second heart Jesus describes, I'm going to call a shallow heart. This is a seed that's sown on the rocky ground. Jesus says this person hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. This is the person who may have a strong emotional response to the message of the gospel and embraces the gospel. But he doesn't persevere until the end. That person sort of falls away. Most of us know someone like this. I have family members who fall into this category. A family member once came to me super excited that they had come to faith in Christ, that they believed Jesus, they were following Jesus, they were on fire for Jesus. They were joyful, and they seemed to truly love Jesus. And yet, within 3 years, Jesus was a distant memory to them. They had not persevered. They heard the word, they even endured for a little while, but eventually they fell away. Jesus says they were rootless, and their belief was circumstantial. As long as things were good, they were willing to believe in God. But when things got hard and problems arose, they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. Does that sound like someone in the Bible you might know here in the New Testament? We could probably go through the scriptures and find a number of people this way. But I think that Judas is one of the disciples, the original disciples, who had a shallow heart. Jesus, as the Messiah, sounded great to him until the message of the kingdom hit him like a ton of bricks. Jesus says, my kingdom requires you to take up your cross and follow me. And Judas says, no, thank you. And he flings his 30 silver coins onto the floor, and he exits stage left. Look, friends, many misunderstand the Christian life and think the Christian life will give us our best life today, our best life now. Hopefully, though, you know that's not true. The Christian life can be hard. It can be filled with trials and tribulation, with doubts and fear. Brothers and sisters, our best life, we're told, is still to come. This life that we have right now will certainly be hard. We're almost certainly, we can guarantee it's going to be hard on some levels. But the key to this soil here, or this picture of the heart, is that we are to persevere, not by fleeing from Jesus, but fleeing to him. Look, this goes well for some of you who are high school students. Some of you going off to college, who maybe going off your first year or getting ready to go off to college. For high school and your early years, you're sort of walking on the coattails of your family's faith. But somewhere along the way, you have to own that faith for yourself. Will you be one who perseveres? Or will you get away and fall by the wayside because life seems too hard, the message seems too difficult, and Jesus doesn't seem real any longer? I challenge you, if that's where you are today as a young person, don't walk on the coattails of your parents' faith. Take a deep dive into the Bible, a deep dive into Scripture, and start seeking who Jesus is for you today. And if you're not sure, then come and talk to some of your elders. Talk to me. I would love to have those conversations with you, because I don't want to see you here in 4 years as the person who didn't persevere, who doesn't make it to the end. I want to see you own your faith, because Jesus has died for you and given himself for you. I'm going to keep going. The third heart Jesus describes is the distracted heart. This is the heart that hears the word, but the worries of life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. This is the heart that many of us sitting in this congregation can identify with. We live at a time when distractions rule our day. Whether that's our cell phone, the PlayStation, good books, or theater. Not only are distractions everywhere, but we also live in a city that I don't think I would be overstating to say is a city where money is God, where finances rule, and where many are seeking their fortune. All this can lead us away from God if we're not careful and aware of our own hearts, on what's going on inside us. Many of these so-called distractions can be good things, right? I mean, PlayStation isn't bad. Computer games aren't bad. A book isn't bad. These are good things. Money in itself isn't a bad thing. Money in itself is amoral. But here's the thing. The distractions aren't the problem. The problem is with the heart that becomes so enamored by the things of this world. The things of this world seem more valuable, more important than Christ. And so they lead us astray. They pull us away from Christ. This person, or this heart, loves the things of this world more than Jesus. If we could sum it up, that's the bottom line. They love their things more than they love Jesus. Jesus' message gets lost in the cares and the worries of their heart. And this heart is preoccupied with life, not with Jesus. The heart of this person can't focus their heart of hearts on God. All they can do is focus on the things that they want or the things that they think they need. And because of distractions, this person's faith basically dies out. It doesn't take root. It doesn't bear fruit. Look, of the first three hearts mentioned, this is the one that we must be concerned with and take notice of. We live in the most affluent society in the history of the world. Almost every one of us in this room would be are in the top 1% of wealth in this world. And if we don't think that impacts us on some level, in the way that we live our life, in the way and how and what we believe and how we believe and how we walk with Jesus, then we are being foolish. Look, the bottom line I think for us is that this heart, this picture of this heart that's caught up by the deceitfulness of money and the worries of this world needs to remind us to take an account occasionally of where we are, of what's going on with us. And this is what Paul says. Early on, Paul says in his epistles, he says, look, I encourage you now and then to examine your heart and see whether you're in the faith. That's what I'm telling us here on this soil. To examine ourselves periodically. Where are we? Have we allowed the things of this world to push out Jesus? The last soil Jesus describes as good soil, and it refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. The gospel takes root and it dives deep into the heart. This is the one who produces a crop, right? The text says yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. Now, please understand, this is the only heart that's a follower of Jesus, right? Because a true follower of Jesus will produce fruit. This is the only soil that produces fruit in this parable. True followers produce fruit. This is the heart of the person who receives Jesus' word. They follow him, even when it's hard. They stick with him when they don't understand. They draw near to him. They lean in upon him. They want Jesus above anything else. And they live their life according to the gospel. Their wills are transformed. Their affections have been transformed. Their desires are transformed. Their actions are transformed because they flow from a heart that's centered on Jesus. And Jesus tells us, to them are given the secrets of the kingdom of God. They get not only the knowledge of his kingdom, they get his kingdom. Do you understand that? They don't just get the knowledge of it, they get his kingdom. Now let me close this here. What kind of soil is your heart? If you look at this text, there's only two kinds of soil. There's non-fruit-bearing soil, and there's fruit-bearing soil. And that's it. Which are you? Which are you? Friends, if you are not bearing fruit, then according to Jesus, your heart is not set on him. Now, not everyone in Christ is going to yield 100-fold, but all in Christ will yield something. And that's the point Jesus is saying. It's the way we know that the message of the kingdom has taken root in our life. If you are in Christ, you will bear fruit. Let's pray. Oh Lord, we praise you for your living and active word. Thank you that when your message is sown in receptive hearts, it changes everything. And it brings a glorious, wonderful harvest. May that be so for every heart here today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.